From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It is a curious fact that there is such a thing as being proud of grace. A man says, I have great faith, I shall not fall. Poor little faith may, but I never shall. I have fervent love, says another. I can stand, there is no danger of my going astray. He who boasts of grace has little grace to boast of. Some who do this imagine that their graces can keep them, knowing not that the stream must flow constantly from the fountainhead, or else the brook will soon be dry. If a continuous stream of oil comes not to the lamp, though it burn brightly today, it will smoke tomorrow, and noxious will be its scent. Take heed that thou gloriest not in thy graces, but let all thy glorying and confidence be in Christ and His strength, for only so canst thou be kept from falling. Be much more in prayer. Spend longer time in holy adoration. Read the Scriptures more earnestly and constantly. Watch your lives more carefully. Live nearer to God. Take the best examples for your pattern. Let your conversation be redolent of heaven. Let your hearts be perfumed with affection for men's souls. So live that men may take knowledge of you, that you have been with Jesus and have learned of Him. And when that happy day shall come, when He whom you love shall say, Come up higher, may it be your happiness to hear Him say, Thou hast fought a good fight, thou hast finished thy course, and henceforth there is laid up for thee a crown of righteousness which fadeth not away. On, Christian, with care and caution. On with holy fear and trembling. On with faith and confidence in Jesus alone. And let your constant petition be, Uphold me according to thy word. He is able, and he alone, to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Be strong.
Strong, be strong.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues these studies in Romans chapter 8, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called God's Saving Power in His Son. The text is verses 3 and 4 of chapter 8, in which the apostle explains why there is no condemnation for those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. The law of God could reveal sin and pronounce God's judgment upon it, but it had no power to deliver men from their sin. But what was impossible for the law, Christ accomplished by his death on the cross. There on Calvary, God punished our sins in the flesh of his dear Son. By taking upon himself real human flesh, Christ did what needed to be done about sin. God did not lower the standards of his law to save sinners, but by his death, Christ fulfilled the righteous judgment of the law. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, God's saving power in his Son.
When God sent his Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, he sent him to do what needed to be done about sin. And what needed to be done was something radical. It wasn't to put a patch on sin. It wasn't to put a temporary covering on sin. It wasn't to ameliorate the lives of sinners. It was to go to the very root of the problem. So God laid our sins on him. Let's get that. God took all the burden, all this mighty load of all the sins of all his people throughout all history, and he laid that sin on Jesus, spotless Lamb of God. And the Lord Jesus willingly assumed the full responsibility for all that sin. First step, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Second step, he sent him for sin to be an offering to deal with sin. That led to the third great step or action that God took. He punished our sin in his own Son. He condemned, and the idea is not just sin in general, he condemned our sin in the flesh, and it's the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, and I'll only have time, this is not a theology lecture, so I'll only have time just to say this in passing, but it is of immense importance that you understand that the sin being laid on Jesus, the smiting that took place, is a reference to it being laid upon his humanity. Oh, he's God and man in two distinct natures in one person forever. And he never lost that union with his deity. But it is in his human nature that Jesus suffers. It's in his humanity that he bears our sin in his own body to the tree. God condemned our sin in the flesh of Jesus Christ. Isaiah tells us in chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, he was stricken. He was smitten of God. Never forget that. The cross is not just a heart-rending story of the awful brutality of man inflicted on the body of Christ. Oh, it is that. Wherever you want to see what sin will do, you want to see how far sin will take a man, have a look at the cross. If you want to see where your sin will take you, how hard and black and wretched and miserable and depraved and hell-deserving your sin will make you, have a look at the cross. Here is the lovely Son of God, the sinless, spotless Savior, against whom none could say, in all honesty, a single word. Here's the one who had never done anything but good to these very people who were gathered at the cross. And what did they do? They not only hung him on a tree, they spat on him, pulled the hair from his face, they mocked him. And even as he hung upon a tree, this to me is one of the most horrific scenes in all of history. This shows you where man's depravity will take them. One would think that looking upon the figure of the Son of God lying on that cross, hoisted up to die, one would think that at least some milk of human kindness may be in evidence. Some sympathy. The human heart would be seen. But no, all you hear is mockery. You be the Son of God. Come down. Mockery. Mocker. Mocker. That's part of the story. But remember, as God shrouded that cross in darkness, it was an emblem that he was doing something that no human eye could see. There was a work going on that no human intelligence could penetrate and understand. He was stricken. He was smitten. He was afflicted by God. By God. I've often quoted, those who have heard me do it 100 times will say, not again. Well, yes, again. And if I die with these words in my lips, I'll be very happy. Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood the flaming blade must slake. Thy heart its sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make. Now sleeps that sword for me. He was stricken, he was smitten of God, he was afflicted. But, says Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. Do you see how God balances the suffering of the Savior with the salvation of his people? The stripes of the Savior with the healing of his people. The hell that he bore with the heaven we enter. Paul penetrated to the very depths of that mystery. In words that I have tried to expound on a couple of occasions, and I come away every time and I say, Lord, will I ever be able to preach that text as it ought to be preached? Can I ever enter into it? God made him to be sin for us. Yes, he made him a sin offering, but he did more than that. This is the next step, you see. He did more than make him just the offering for sin. In doing that, he made him to be sin. Not morally, but legally, judicially. God dealt with Jesus Christ as the very embodiment of all our sin. And all the divine wrath against sin. All that God would do to sin, our sin, all the condemnation that God, a holy and righteous God, had for our sin, he placed in Christ, he made him to be sin for us. I want you to see this. God condemned our sin in the person, the true humanity of Jesus Christ. That leads me to the all-important statement that thus, in this way, God saved his people, and he saved them, notice the word, legally. You see, the Unitarian version of salvation is that God parks his law for a while so that love can operate. God ignores the strictness of the law. He lowers the standard so that in kindness he can let us in. And of course, the awful lie about that is, instead of making us saints, God would make himself a sinner. And that's impossible. No, the biblical way is very different. God honored the law by fully satisfying it in the way in which he justifies his people. God acted as he did, notice the words of our text, in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now this word righteousness, there are a couple of terms for righteousness in this book of Romans, and I'm not going to dazzle you with foreign words. They are related words, but they are definitely not the same word, and the difference is important. This righteousness, this word here that is translated as righteousness, has the idea, as I've said, of the just claim or sentence of the law. I've said the righteous judgment of the law. Turn back, if you will, to Romans chapter 1, verse 32. And there you will see these words, speaking of certain ungodly people who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but of pleasure in them that do them. Notice the wording. Knowing the judgment of God. What is the judgment of God? That they that do such things are worthy of death. Now this word judgment is the word that is translated in our text, the righteousness of God. It's the righteous judgment of God. What is the righteous judgment of God? That they who break the law of God are worthy of death. Now we come into Romans chapter 8. And God did all these things for us in Christ that the righteous judgment of the law might be fulfilled in us. That's why he did it. You see how God saves people? Not by abrogating the law, not by lowering the standards of the law, not by finding some little way around the law, but by honoring the law and fulfilling the law, which he did in Christ. I want you to notice this very carefully. Paul can say there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the righteous judgment of the law has been fully executed upon us in Jesus Christ. That's his logic. In other words, he's saying the law of God does not condemn you now because it has no reason to condemn you. What would it condemn in you? Your sin. But it has already condemned your sin in the person of him who is your Savior. God has united you to Christ. He is what the old theologians called a public person. There are only two public persons in the Bible. One was the first Adam, one was the last Adam. All men in the first Adam died. All who are in the second Adam live. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 spells that out. I want you to get this. When God God condemned our sin in Christ. All the condemnation of the law was visited upon our sin. Everything that would bring us down to hell, everything that would bring us under the everlasting fire of the wrath of God, separate us from Him forever. All that the law would have to do with everything in us that would lead us away from God has been dealt with in Christ. Everything. I want you to understand that. If there's one sin of mine against which the law of God has not brought its entire condemnation, if there's one sin of mine that Jesus Christ did not personally bear in His own body on the tree, then I'll be damned eternally. Thank God, there's no condemnation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.